أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون صدق العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama, respected Huffaz, elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we begin with the praises of Allah Rabbul Alameen, that Allah who is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our leader, our mentor and our guide, Nabiya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Respected elders and friends, it is that time of the year wherein many articles are circulated advising how one should conduct himself during the festive season or during the holiday season. These articles highlight important guidelines and safety tips regarding various aspects, amongst which are, for example, road safety, or they would highlight guidelines on water safety, or they would highlight guidelines on security, safety, etc. Various statistics and various facts are presented with regard to these guidelines, which leave a lasting impression on the mind of the reader. But together with advice is also given to prevent situations arising. Advice is also given to prevent situations arising. For example, parents are told that make sure that you are watching your children even when other adults are around, or even when lifeguards are around, etc., etc., etc. So these are the various aspects and guidelines that are given. Now friends, just as our physical safety and the safety of our children is of utmost importance to us, it is more important that we take into consideration the safety of ours and their iman, their deen, and their modesty. My respected friends, iman and deeni safety tips are extremely important and relevant every day of our lives, and more so during this period. Just as advice on physical safety is taken with a sense of appreciation, advice on our spiritual safety during this season should be received with the same sentiments, so that we do not drown or injure our iman in the tide of the vice and shamelessness that is prevalent amongst us. My respected friends, let me give you an example. This world that we live in may be likened to an ocean. On the one end is the land that we came from. On the other side is the land which we intend going towards. The land which we came from is alam-e arwah, the realm of the souls. And the land towards which we are journeying is Jannah. The ship that will cross us is iman. Without iman, we will not reach our destination. Rather, a barren, desolate, dangerous land called Jahannam. Allah save us, Allah protect us. So it is iman that will get us across safely. But friends, iman is just the vessel itself. Iman is the vessel itself. Together with the vessel, there is a need for an engine. There is a need for an engine. Now you know, and I know, the more powerful the engine, the more swiftly it will cross across and reach the destination. It's like a car. The more powerful the engine, the faster it goes. So we have the vessel, which is our iman, and we need an engine to drive that vessel. So a'mal salih serves as the engine. A'mal salih serves as the engine. Good actions will serve as the engine. It is for this reason, my respected elders and friends, in the Quran and Majid, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of iman, Allah always brings a'mal. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa man ya'mal min salihat min dhakarin aw untha. So Allah always pairs iman and a'mal together. Now friends, you and I know that the vessel itself cannot get a person across, but alone it is not going to secure him a quick and easy journey. It is together with the engine that will secure him the ease which he desires. So both are required. iman and good actions. Now friends, we find that the ships in this world, it's not uncommon for them to undergo obstacles and difficulties at sea. It's not uncommon for them to undergo obstacles and example, there will be icebergs, there will be rough seas, there will be whirlpools, there will be swells, etc. And these are some of the potential risks that these vessels will face. Likewise in our voyage to the Akhirah, likewise in our sailing to the Akhirah, it will not be smooth sailing. There will be obstacles en route which may potentially destroy us, or might not destroy us but will dent us. No matter how large we may think the vessel of our iman is, or how strong our engine of a'mal is, we are all definitely at risk. Even the supposedly unsinkable Titanic, the guy who built the Titanic, the ship will never sink. The Titanic was built by the professional and it sank. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam was, ship was built by amateurs and Allah made it sail safely. Subhanallah. So even the unsinkable Titanic, which was the pride of engineering in that era of its maiden voyage, after hitting an iceberg, what happened? Sank. So this should serve as a lesson for our deen. No matter who I am, I need to be wary of the obstacles around me so that I do not hit an iceberg and I also sink. So how do we avoid obstacles? The key to navigating at sea, ahead and avoiding potential risk, today you know, the captains, they receive weather maps, they have satellite images and other information that is sent to them instantaneously via email. Some vessels have more high-tech equipment and tools abroad, like onboard computer systems that help plan routes that are based on weather forecasts. Likewise in our deen. As well, we need to identify problem areas which may harm us and protect us. And we need to take the relevant mechanisms and the relevant tools, like the captain does, we need to see which is the safest route. Now, one of the challenges that a vessel faces is that of currents opposing the direction of travel. It may not seem much on the surface, but it actually has a large impact on travel time and on fuel consumption. However, if the current is the direction of the travel, more distance is covered with less fuel. That is a normal theory. Now this, my friends, may be likened to one's environment and company. If it is conducive, we will go a long way with not much effort. But if it is contrary to that, it will take us a long time and a lot of effort to reach and to move forward. In fact, in our engines of a'mal are not powerful enough. And for some reason, if it breaks down, we will end up moving in the complete opposite direction, Allah forbid, enough to destroy our iman altogether. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that ar-rajulu ala deeni khalili. That ar-rajulu ala deeni khalili, that a person is on the creed of his friend. A person is on the creed of his friend, therefore be wary of whom you befriend. In another hadith, the Nabi of Allah said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا, that do not befriend or only accompany a believer. If our company and our environment is good, then just as the ship sails with ease towards its direction, so too will we be propelled towards righteousness and Jannah. But if our company is bad, then just as an adverse or a cross current can move a ship right off its intended route, potentially even running it to the ground, we too can get swayed to such an extent that we can never ever recover. Now there's a beautiful parable that the Nabi of Allah has mentioned in a hadith and has emphasized the effectiveness of conducive and unconducive environment. The example of a good companion and an evil companion is similar to that of a musk seller and a blacksmith. The musk seller will either give you some musk, or you may buy some from him, or if he does not give you or you do not buy, you will at least get the sweet smell and the scent of the musk just by being in his presence. As for the blacksmith, he will either burn your body or your clothes, and if a spark flies out of the fire when he blows it or to kindle it, you will be at least left with the smell of the bad odor. Now friends, a similar example to understand is that of a person. A person who comes to the masjid, for example, he came to our masjid, Masjid al-Rahmah, and he comes to the masjid to do some maintenance work. He just came by, he was called by the maintenance team, maintenance term. His objective of being in the masjid was not to perform salah. His objective was to come and do maintenance work. However, whilst he was there, the adhan is called out. Now, even if this person is not regular on salah, he will read salah. Why? Because he is in the environment. Because he is in the environment. Now, friends, take a regular musalli, a person who regularly reads salah, and take him and put him in the middle of a sports ground. There's a T20 match going on. Put him in the middle of a sports ground. And whilst the match is on, tell him that it is salah time. He is a regular musalli, but tell him it is salah time. What will his response be? Here? Now? How? Where? Wudu? What must I do? Let the match finish, then we'll worry about it. So the lesson, friends, is that you cannot escape the effect of one's environment, of surroundings, whether it be positive or whether it be negative. Moving on. A second example I can give you. The effect of environment is also clearly understood from a narration regarding the person who had committed 100, how many murders? He hit a century. He hit a century. 100 murders. When he decided to repent, he went to some learned person for advice, and this person informed him that there was nothing that can deprive him from forgiveness if he repents sincerely. However, this person gave him advice. He told him, leave the place where you're living in, for it is a place of evil. It is a place of the environment is not good for you. So leave the environment and move to a better environment. So he immediately left out of town, but he passed away en route. Subhanallah. He passed away and wrote. Since he was found closer to the intended place of the pious people, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgave him. Allah forgave. It's an amazing incident. It's a long incident of how the malaika come and they measure, and the first malaika of punishment wants his body and the malaika of rahmah wants his body, and there's an argument, but we don't have time to go into that. But the fact that he was moving to an environment that was conducive for his iman, Allah forgave him. There's another beautiful example that is mentioned in the hadith. In the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a prominent person by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. It was his habit that he would invite other prominent people for a meal after returning from a journey. On such occasion, he invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but Rasulullah refused his invite and made the condition that until he does not become a Muslim, he will not partake of his food. This was the concern the Nabi of Allah had. This was the fikr and the worry the Nabi of Allah had, that how can every person bring iman? So what he did, he fulfilled the condition and he accepted Islam. Now Uqba had a close friend. Uqba had a close friend and his name was Ubay bin Khalaf. When his friend Ubay found out what had occurred, he was enraged and he refused to accept the excuse of his friend until he did not return to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and wa na'udhu billah spit in the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uqba, what we would call in today's terms, succumbing to peer pressure. You know what is peer pressure? His friend, peer pressure. He listened to his wretched friend. The outcome of both of them was destruction in this world and destruction in the year after. And Allah makes mention of this incident in the وَيَوْمَ يَعُضَّ الظَّالِمُ يَدَيْهِ, that Allah makes mention and be mindful of the day the wrongdoer bite his hand. The wrongdoer will bite his hand saying, would that I had taken a path along with the messenger. Indeed, he led me astray for the advice after he had come. Uqba would bite his hand and he would say, if only I had listened to the messenger and I had not listened to my friend. Now, even though this ayah, my friends, was revealed for a specific incident, it serves as a principle. It serves as a principle. And what is that principle? Don't just go with the flow. Tribes, don't just go with the flow. The current, wherever it takes you. Unfortunately, this is what happens to many of us under the guise of succumbing to peer pressure. How often does it not happen that we are influenced by the company that we keep? Come, let's go. I'll pay the ticket. Don't stress. I'll pay the ticket. Don't worry, we won't get caught. We'll only go there once, just for the kick of it. Thereafter, we'll make tawbah. The consequence of that is that Uqba was on track. Uqba was on track. And he wanted to do good. And he wanted good company. And said, but what happened? He was negatively influenced by his best friend. So, sometimes we may be influenced by good company or some talk of deen and a spark of righteousness is ignited within our heart and we listen to this talk and we say, no man, it's time I need to change or it's time I need to do good. Then comes along a friend like Ubay. Then comes along a friend and just as how shaitan entices men towards conceivable wrong, so too thus a friend can take you towards conceivable wrong. I'll give you another example. Bilqis is mentioned in the Quran. Bilqis. When Allah Ta'ala discusses the incident of Bilqis and her bringing iman on Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ كَانَتْ مِنْ قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ. In Allah describing Bilqis, Allah says, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مِنْ قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ. She was from a disbelieving people. Explaining that despite the fact that she was an intelligent woman, a woman of intelligence, a woman of knowledge, a queen, the reason for the delay of her bringing iman belonged to the environment of disbelieving people. And what happened? She was influenced by the wrong environment that was around her. Despite the fact she was a queen, she had intelligence, she knew the truth of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam's message, but yet there was a delay in her accepting that message simply because she was in that environment. Therefore, sometimes a person may be of very good nature, but his environment and company spoils him. The Nabi of Allah has been instructed in the Quran. Imagine the Nabi of Allah has been instructed in the Quran that wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal 'ashi. The Nabi of Allah has been instructed that restrain yourself. Subhanallah. Keep company and restrain yourself with who? Of those who call their Lord in the morning and evening seeking His pleasure. So even the Nabi of Allah has been instructed to keep with good company. My respected elders and friends, my time is almost finished. Then there is the example, another example I can give you of the Al-Kahf. How they moved away from the environment of falsehood and they went into the element of good. Thus, in the context of the example of the ship that had been mentioned in my introduction, what they did, they rerouted from the bad environment, and they wore life jackets by adopting the company of pious, like-minded people. My friends, this concept of protection against danger is inherent within all of us. In all aspects of our life, we look for the safest way to carry ourselves and to protect ourselves from apparent threats. It is an inherent born quality that Allah has given us. At home, our businesses, we employ security guards, we install alarm systems, we have electric fencing, we join the neighborhood watch, etc. Now, just as we secure our physical selves and our material possessions, so too should we more importantly be applied to protect our iman and our deen. And this time is such that the environment is not conducive to our iman. My respected elders and friends, can we imagine a captain of a ship randomly going into a storm, not at all concerned of the safety of himself and those aboard? Likewise, as a man of the house, you are responsible for your home. The onus is on you and me that we adopt the necessary measures to ensure that we take precaution. In conclusion, my respected elders and friends, our hearts will be tugging to go with the flow. Our hearts, our nafs, our desire will be tugging to go with the flow and have some fun in the sun. They say go with the flow and have some fun in the sun, but bear it for a few days of patience. It is like a wave. We just need to remind and remain firm for a few moments and we will be saved. But if we lose our footing for a few seconds, we will be pulled away even into deeper water. And they say still waters, what happens to still waters? They have the deepest depth. So it might look calm on the front, it might look calm on the top, but you don't know how deep it is at the bottom. Respected elders and friends, in the journey of life, it is how we conduct ourselves for a few moments until the storm passes. Everyone will be faced with storms in their lives. Everyone will be faced with storms in their lives. And just in the journey of life, as the storms pass, that will result in a safe journey to the year after. Inshallah, next week, Allah give me the ability, we will continue and I will give you a parable of how we can save ourselves, inshallah, if Allah keeps me alive, inshallah. May Allah protect in this period, grant us the ability to remain adamant. Wa akhiru alhamdulillah.